Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Going through this blessed book and this precious Sermon on the Mount. Every time I consider looking at another passage in this particular part of Scripture, I think this is the message that the Lord preached. Therefore, I know we could do no better than to hear this sermon. Our Lord, in chapter 6, four times from verse 25 to 31, gave warning to his hearers concerning worrying. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, don't worry for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature, one second to his life? That's what he's saying. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And then verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Brother Henry wrote this down. I've seen it written many times, but it's so good, I want to read what he wrote. He said, we have entirely too many fears for a people to whom the Lord has said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Then Brother Henry said, we have far too many doubts and fears concerning God's mercy and love and grace for a people to whom the Lord has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. And then he said, we spend entirely too much time grumbling and complaining about our trials and troubles for people to whom the Lord has said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then fourthly, he said, we have entirely too much attachment to this world, to this present life, for people who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And then he said, lastly, we have far too much anxiety, care and fear, far too much concern for earthly material things for a people to whom the Lord has said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So, the Lord is saying to those to whom he preached, but he's saying to us tonight, take no thought. Don't worry. Don't be anxious for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Then in verse 33 and 34, which is where I'll be tonight, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first with your time, first in place, first in order, and first in importance. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is the kingdom of God, whose character in the Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness. The righteousness of God. What a promise. You seek first. Let the kingdom of God be the priority. You seek that first. All these other things, he said, shall be added unto you. Now, we worship the Lord God of heaven. And therefore, based on his word, you seek first. Let nothing else take a priority. Let nothing else come first. Let nothing else. Nothing else. This, the seeking of the kingdom of God first. Therefore, based on his word, we are to make much of that which he has revealed, that we're to make much of his kingdom, his righteousness. Now, his kingdom, the scripture says in Matthew 13:11 that the mysteries of the kingdom are those things that must be revealed. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Make much of these glorious mysteries. The mysteries of the Trinity himself. You know, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God. One God. Three persons, one God. Now, you can try to make all kinds of analogies. I've heard people try to make them. You say, you know, it's like water. Water can be liquid. Water can be vapor. Water can be ice. I can understand that. I understand that. I know what ice is. Water vapor. But the Trinity, I can't explain that. There is no comparison to it. The mysteries of the incarnation of Christ. God himself, totally God, totally man. And the scriptures reveal, as he was in this world, how those two characteristics, can I say it like that, were absolutely manifest. Here he was asleep in the hinder part of a ship. He was asleep. He was really sleeping. He was tired. And his disciples woke him up. Master, don't you care that we perish? And he stood up and he spoke to the waves. He spoke to the water, to the wind. He said, be still. Perfect calm. When it said it was calm, I don't believe for one second that there was a ripple. When he said, be still, it was still. The mystery of election. God electing a people according to the good pleasure of his will. Redemption by the blood of Christ. Christ being made sin. He who knew no sin. Regeneration, removal of a stony heart, a stony character. I will remove that heart of stone and I'll give you a new heart, a new flesh, a new mind, new will, a new love. Justification by his imputed righteousness. As I've told you before, justification, remember this, no charge. No guilt. No guilt. No record of guilt. Now you talk about an amazing thing. that being justified freely by his grace, no record. That which is born of God sinneth not. Justified before God. These precious mysteries of the kingdom, they must be revealed. They're taught. And so the scripture declares the Lord to have said that this kingdom, the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom. That kingdom that the Lord said it's your Father's good pleasure to give you, the kingdom. And it's a kingdom according to the word of God that's in this world, but it's not of this world. The Lord's kingdom. Now, James says that the kingdom of God is according to an inheritance. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? So, what is the kingdom of God? What is that? Well, it's his people. It's his elect. It's the church. It's the bride. It's those chosen in Christ. A kingdom is a group overruled by a king. To have a kingdom, there's got to be a king. And a king has got that over which he rules. So the scriptures declare that the Lord has a kingdom. A kingdom in this world. And it's his kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's one whose subjects love the king and seek the king. They're willingly seek the king. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. So we seek heartily. And concerning this kingdom, here's what the Lord says. Jeremiah, if you want to turn this, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. I'll read it if you want to just listen. Jeremiah 29. Here's what the Lord says shall happen concerning his kingdom. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know, the Lord said, the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Now listen to this. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So I know something. I know that the Lord has a kingdom that he said is going to seek him. And he said, you're going to find me. You're going to find me. Now, concerning this kingdom, I want you to, you can just mark your place right there, but turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. I want to look at a passage of scripture that's truly amazing. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. The Lord is teaching. He's giving up some parables here concerning the kingdom of heaven. He says in Matthew 13, 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to make a few comments about that passage of Scripture. That passage of Scripture is talking about absolute, particular redemption. Now, you remember that statement that I made as I go through these explanations. That Scripture is about particular redemption, that God has a people that he's everlastingly loved, and he came into this world, and he was made sin for his kingdom, a kingdom that was given him in electing grace before the foundation of the world. And he laid down his life for that kingdom. He came to save that kingdom from their sins. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. Now, I'm going to make some statements, show you with Scripture why I'm making these statements. This kingdom is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a kingdom, and she's referred to in this passage in 1344 as a treasure that's hid in a field. I want you to look at Exodus 19, a treasure. The kingdom of heaven, the Scripture says, is like unto treasure that's hid in a field. Look at Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He told his people, spiritual Israel, he said, you're my peculiar treasure. You're a treasure unto me. Look at Psalm 135, verse 4. Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord had chosen Jacob unto himself. Jacob, have I loved Jacob, a picture of all God's elect. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel. Remember, that's when the Lord asked him, he said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. Huckster, supplanter, trickster. He said, no more. No more. Your name is Israel. Prince with God. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure, a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. That treasure referred to in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, when the Lord spoke of his bride and he said, you've ravished me, stolen my heart with one of your eyes, one look of faith. This is a mystery to me. How the Lord can say concerning his particular, peculiar treasure, you're my treasure, given to me, redeemed by me, yours in regenerating grace by willful consent, made willing in the day of God's power. You're my treasure. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Hid in a field. What's the field? Well, look back at verse 38 of Matthew 13. The Lord, and I'm so thankful. I read a lot of things. A lot of people were given, different commentaries. They said, well, the field is this. The field represents this. This is what the field means here. And I thought, what did the Lord say the field is? Well, look at Matthew 13, 38. The field is the world. Boy, that just settled it, didn't it? The field is the world. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. They're hidden. They're scattered throughout the fields of this world. The field that's hidden from the world's eyes, and before conversion, even from their own, until the Lord calls one of his elect out of darkness. Before the Lord calls one of his elect out of darkness. Does that chosen vessel of God's mercy know that they're one of God's elect? No. Before the Lord ever called me out of darkness, I was in religion. I'd never even heard of the elect. I'd heard of religion. I went to church. But I didn't know that God had a people. I didn't know the Lord had chosen a people from before the foundation of the world. They're hidden even from themselves. But the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure that is hid in a field. Now, we want to consider something. Something's getting ready to happen. There's going to be a purchase that's going to happen. And let's see who's doing the purchasing. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, which when a man, I love this, I looked it up. I wanted to see what that said. Certain man. When a certain man hath found. That finding of this treasure, the finding of that treasure was originally and eternally found by the Lord Jesus Christ as the gift from his Father. How long has he found her? How long has he beheld her? How long has he seen her? That's what that word find means, to see her, to perceive her, to know her. He found her. He knew her. He's eternally known her. He found her. He promised a while ago that we were going to seek him. Why do we seek him? Because he first sought us. Look at Isaiah 62, verse 12. Isaiah 62, 12. I love this passage of scripture. Isaiah 62, verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. What's the name of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven. What's her name? She's called sought out. She's found. Eternally found in the purpose and will of Almighty God. A city not forsaken. She's a found people. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Hid from the world. Hid from her own eyes. Hidden. In which when a man hath found, he hideth. Now that's an amazing passage of scripture. He hideth. Many said they when somebody finds a treasure, they'll take it and rehide it. That word right there is the same word, he hideth, same word as hid in a field. She was hid. She was obscure. Unknown to the world. Not to the Lord, but to the world. But when a man hath found, there's a treasure. There's a treasure. And it's hid in this world. Scattered. It's everywhere. But the Lord knows where it is. And what is he going to do to get that treasure? he's going to become like she is. Made like unto his brethren. He's known her. She's hidden in the world. She's eternally been found as the bride. And in time he came to her to redeem her. To make himself. To be hidden. Hidden to the world. Hidden to her. Until he reveals himself to her. He made himself of no reputation. That's what the scripture says. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness. He knew no sin. But here he hideth. He's found this treasure. She's in this world. She's fallen in Adam. And she's unknown. But he knows her. And he hideth. He comes into here. This world. There's no beauty in him that we should behold him, that he was despised and rejected of men. And the scripture says in verse 44, he hideth and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. For the joy that was set before him, for the joy of redemption, for the joy of knowing that she's going to be with him forever. The one that he's looked upon that just ravishes him. What did he do? The scripture says he goeth and he sells all that he hath. He endured the cross, ignored the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And for the joy of seeing his people, he goeth and selleth all that he hath. What did he do? He sacrificed everything. He selleth all he had. Sacrificed everything for the redemption of his own. He made himself of no reputation. The servant called himself a worm. But the scripture says he told his disciples in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave himself. I lay down my life for you. What more can a man give? He said, no greater love than a man lay down. 1 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We don't understand depth of his poverty. We don't realize he became poor. We have some kind of a simple thought of, you know, he just didn't have maybe quite as much. He gave all. He sold all. What's it going to take? What was it going to cost her? What would it cost her? If he didn't sell all, if he didn't be made her and become her and be made sin, what was it going to cost if he didn't do that? He made himself poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He sold everything. Philippians 2:7-8. He made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Again, we don't understand that. We have some vague conception of humility, but we don't know. You talk about the mysteries of the kingdom. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he selleth all that he hath. Here's his kingdom. It's his people. It's his bride, his beloved. And she's a treasure. And she's hid. Hid in a field. This man's founder, known her always. And he hideth himself coming into that field, in that world. And for joy thereof goeth, selleth all he hath, and he buyeth that field. He bought the field. He bought the field. He bought the world. Now, let me be real plain here, real quick. Not in the sense that he redeemed every man out of the world. Now, you know that. Not that he redeemed all of them. I lay down my life for the sheep. But what he did was he purchased the right. He purchased this world. He made it. It fell, was corrupted in man's fall, and he bought it. Paid the price to rule this world that he might justly get the treasure out of it. He bought it. He bought this field. 2 Peter 2:1. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. I'll read this to you. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now let me ask you something. When Almighty God came into this field and bought the field, he bought with his own precious blood the right. He's a just God. He bought it. And he said, can I not do with my own as I will? Do I not have the right? Listen to Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. The world is his by creation, and it's his by purchase of blood. He bought it. And it's his by gift from the Father. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. By his obedient death at Calvary, again, he owns the right to do as he will with whomsoever he will. He bought the field. He bought the field that he might justly get the treasure, his treasure, out of it. It's his. He said in Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. They're mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall He bought the field because the treasure was in the field. That's his field. That's his field. And he's going to get her. She's hidden. And when he has gotten all of his treasure out of the field, you know what he's going to do with the rest of it? He's going to burn it up. Why? It's his. No one will accuse him of doing something with something that wasn't his. The earth is the Lord's. He owns the right to show mercy to whom he'll show mercy. Look at in Romans 9:21. Romans 9:21. Boy, I tell you, I think of the book of Romans. Chapter 9 of the book of Romans. You talk about the sovereignty of God. Go back and read Romans 9. 9:21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The scripture says in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, the Lord praying, this is what he said. This is the right that he has. I told you, he made it. It's his. He bought it with his own blood, and it was given to him of the Father. It's his. It's his. This earth, this field is the Lord's. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It all belongs to him. So knowing that which is precious to him, this is his kingdom. Now back in Matthew chapter 6, and I'll wrap this up. Knowing that which is precious, that which he has sought, that which he has bought, that which he has found eternally, and has hid and he hideth, comes into this world. He's going to get her. He's going to get his bride. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God. That's what he did. That's what he did. He came into this world. Listen to this scripture when the Lord gave his disciples. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 verse 15, 16. Here's the commission that the Lord gave his disciples. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What are we to be doing? We seek first the kingdom of heaven. This is the Lord's kingdom. We seek first the calling out of his kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. This is what we do. There is no other message. There's no other message. There's no other message. This is the message that the Spirit of God is going to bless to the calling out of his sheep. This is what we've been called to do, for the comfort, for the peace of his kingdom, and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prefer it. You seek first. Prefer it to our own personal needs. Pray. That's what the Lord says when you pray. Pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. This is what we desire. The Lord has put us in this area right here. I pray that God call out his people. Call out his kingdom. I know this. He has come into this world to seek her out. He came into this world because she's hidden in here. How many are still left in this area? I don't know. I tell you what he's done. He's left us here. He's left us here. We're still here tonight, preaching the gospel, proclaiming that which Almighty God has eternally purposed to do, to save his people from their sins. Gary and I were just talking just a moment ago, just before this service started, about something Brother Henry said years ago. He said, drive by this place one day. We talked about this many times. So I remember when the gospel used to be preached in there, where God allowed it to be preached. If the Lord is pleased, if he's called all of his elect out, does he have the right to move the candlestick? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. If he's called all of his sheep, but that he's still allowed us to be here tonight is an encouragement to me. Who knows? He may save one of your kids. He may save one of mine. Who knows? Peradventure, the Lord might be pleased. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness that he's earned, but that which is the character of his kingdom as he calls them out of darkness. And concerning all of these other things that we get all anxious about, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. He said, you seek first You let this be your priority. What are we anxious for? Don't be anxious for all these other things. The scripture says that all these things shall be added unto you. You're not going to do without. And 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow's not here. Tomorrow never gets here. Never is a tomorrow. Come past and it's 12 o'clock. It's today and today and there's 12 and now it's today. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't carry cares concerning later. What if? What if? What if? Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know if we'll even see the light of another day. You don't know if you're going to have any more time than what he just gave you. That's all that we know for sure that we have. And therefore, it's faithlessness to worry about something that may not even get here. The Lord has promised. He said, you seek first my kingdom. You seek first. Pray that God call out his own. Pray that God bless his people. I pray that God blesses us and encourages us. We need encouragement. We all do. I pray that the Lord bless his word to the calling out of his sheep. That he comforts her, settles her. You seek first my kingdom. That's what you do first. And he said, I promise you, all these other things will be added unto you. You'll have these things. I pray that the Lord bless the word to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.